Welcome to the Grin Gets Real podcast, a show for marketers by marketers to talk shop and share insights on the ever-changing landscape of the digital world. My name is Katya, and I am your host on this exciting journey as we talk to our experts who join us. Grin is the number one creator management platform designed for the next generation of brands who recognize that in the creator economy, authenticity is everything. To get insight on how Grin can help you manage your creator strategy, visit grin.co. That's grin.co. Now, my guest today is Mitchell Pelkey, a collegiate men's lacrosse athlete at Ohio State University. He is a content creator and social media influencer. As a creator, Mitchell's platforms are really based on his life and honestly making people laugh. At his core, he's a passionate visionary and entrepreneur who also loves lacrosse. So put your AirPods in, turn up that volume, and get ready for my guest today, Mitchell Pelkey. All right, Mitchell, welcome to the Grin Gets Real podcast. I'm super excited to have you on here to give us a little bit more information on NIL and collegiate athletes to begin with.
Thank you. Yeah, absolutely. I'm fired up to be here. I just want to say thank you for giving me the opportunity.
Absolutely. Well, let's dive into it. I want to hear a little bit about your just kind of athletic story to begin with. What's your sport? How long have you been in it? All of that good stuff. And Where do you go to school?
Yeah, we can dive into that. So I was born in Timonium, Maryland, kind of like the hotbed for lacrosse. That's where lacrosse is biggest in the United States. My dad was a legend. He played at UVA. My brother played Division I lacrosse as well. So always grew up having the stick in my hand. That was like my number one sport. Tried to play football and basketball. They just never worked out for a 5'9" Italian. But grew up playing lacrosse. And my dad was kind of my hero and my coach growing up. Played it throughout high school, ended up committing to play at Ohio State my freshman year, actually, which is still nuts to think about. I'm a senior here at Ohio State now, but committed October of my freshman year, played lacrosse out through high school and in college and going into my fourth year here at Ohio State, and started my content journey in March of 2016, so spring of my freshman year of high school, by actually giving my buddy Evan Buckley a terrible haircut, which is kind of surprising. I always wanted to get in the social realm, grew up watching people like Roman Atwood Vlogs or Casey Neistat or BF vs. GF, and always loved that atmosphere of like them thinking of an idea, filming it, editing it, and posting it. And I always wanted to get into that and was honestly afraid of what people would say. That's kind of really what held me back in the first place.
Yeah.
And then I just took my Italian mom to really like bust my chops and get me going. And eventually made that first haircut video and just been creating content and kind of changing my niche every couple of years. And now I think it's primarily student athlete, Ohio State student body, and lacrosse related. But now we're here. NIL has definitely changed this game 180 degrees, but I'm fired up to talk to you about it today.
Yeah, I love it. Well, so did you start off on YouTube then?
Yeah, so started off on YouTube, and then that just kind of gradually grew to Instagram and TikTok.
Now, obviously, the NIL ruling just happened, so it's not like it's been around since 2016, 2018. So I'd love to hear kind of like your high level before and after that ruling for you. Like what kind of, before the ruling, where were you at in your social game? Let's start there. So you were definitely on YouTube. Were you on other channels as well? Had you scratched the itch of TikTok is the way that I will describe it.
Yeah. So go back 2016, that first video, I'm a freshman in high school. From freshman year to senior year, it was all YouTube and everything was allowed. I was making money through the platform of YouTube monetization. I was also creating my own merchandise. I was gaining money there. I mean, everything was totally fine. But I knew as soon as I got to Ohio State, August 5th, 2019, I would have to stop selling merchandise and stop gaining monetization from YouTube because NIL wasn't a thing. And that was really heartbreaking. I think a lot of athletes can attest to this, but it just was tough since I was playing a sport, I couldn't make content. Like it just didn't make sense. And I think people think about the money and that aspect of, oh, you couldn't make money producing these videos. But I think the hardest part was just, I was put in this creative box where I play lacrosse at Ohio State and I film videos about my life. But in the videos, I couldn't talk about playing lacrosse at Ohio State. And that was super tough. So it had me always scrambling for the first 2 years of my college career of just like, who am I? What am I going to talk about? Because my videos are truly based on my personality and the things I do in my life. And the fact that, you know, I'm a Division I college athlete, people know how much time that takes. the fact that I can't put like 80% of what my actual life is in my videos, like that was the hardest part. And I think a lot of people in the outside don't really realize that, because they just think it's like, oh, you're allowed to make this and that money. But in the beginning, it was all like, okay, like you go to Ohio State, play lacrosse, but you can't talk about Ohio State and lacrosse.
It's very limiting. So then the ruling happens. What's the impact?
The ruling happened. I'll never forget June 30th, 2021. I got like no sleep because I knew this would be a huge, a huge day for many around the world. And I got no sleep. I remember waking up July 1st, 2021 at like 4 a.m. and already had a couple people within my DMs being like, hey, we'd love to do something with you, or hey, we want to give you some free products or this and that. And ever since then, I just never looked back. I started being really strict with myself. Okay, I'm going to post once a week on YouTube. Okay, I'm going to get this TikTok game rolling because I think there's huge gain there.
Yeah.
And I just really buckled down because in the back of my mind, I always knew I always wanted to be a person on social media. I hate the term influencer. I'm just a person that creates content.
You're a creator. You are a creator that happens to use social media as a distribution channel.
Yeah, I love that. So I always knew in the back of my mind, like I always wanted to be a content creator. Mm-hmm. I knew that NIL has opened up so many doors that I kind of took a step back and be like, all right, Mitchell, if I want this to be my thing I do for the rest of my life, like I got to buckle down.
Yeah.
So on July 1st, I kind of just made a posting schedule and really just stuck to who I am and started creating more videos and more content, really took it serious. And now we are here almost a year and a month later.
How did it affect the type of content that you decided to, you know, buckle down and start creating? Was it just so much heavier on like your college experience and being the collegiate athlete? Like what aspects of your content really changed?
Yeah, I think a lot of it did. I think I always tell, you know, my friends, my family and my fans this, like 50% of the content I create is all for the memories. I'm a big memories guy. So like even back in high school, I would film the homecomings and the proms and all my lacrosse games because I wanted to remember and watch those memories when I have kids, when I have a family, like it's just going to be. So now like the content is a lot of like, what do I want to watch back when I grow up? And I think that has been a key aspect. But like I said, July 1st, 2021 happens, NIL opens the doors. And now I'm taken out of this creative box and can truly like, do whatever I want as far as content goes. I can film inside the facility. I can go around and talk about how I play lacrosse. And that was probably the biggest thing. I take the money out of it, like just being able to film really whatever was truly huge for me. And I think really attacking what it's like to be a student and a student athlete at a great university like the Ohio State University, that was like my first and foremost thing. Like I want to show the fans why this school is so amazing and why I truly love going here. Because at the end of the day, that's why I picked this school and that's why I continue to go here. And then I think secondly, like there's no Division I lacrosse YouTuber out there. I'm the only one, I think, to bring that aspect to the fans of like, I'm going to give you guys behind the scenes access to what it's really like to can bring you guys through the trenches, the ups and downs of what it's like to be an athlete here. And I've just continued to kind of up the ante on that. Okay. I know I'm at the top of pyramid for Division I sports, especially Division I lacrosse. How can I stay at the top? And I think continuing to work. And I heard this quote the other day, it's successful people grind all the time. And the hardest part is when they don't want to work, they have to work. And like, that's something I've truly stuck to because there's been so many days where I don't want to work, but I know like the end goal is what I want. So I'm going to continue to work. I know that was a long-winded answer, but
I loved it. I'm here for it. No, I mean, and it's exactly what I asked for because I think it's important to know the NIL ruling affected your creativity and to hear and have a better understanding of what that meant for your content, I think is really pivotal because I would imagine that it affected other athletes in the same way as well too. I am interested in just kind of hearing about the DM approach once that ruling happened, right? You said, you know, you woke up and there were already a couple of people in your DMs. Tell me a little bit about like that, the outreach from those brands and what helps you make the decision of this is what I'm going to go with and this is not what I'm going to go with. I'm going to assume it's not just like, as long as they pay me, I'll post this.
That's actually a big question I get from like young creators kind of coming up. Like I think another thing too is, you know, athletes don't really know their value, especially if you're not playing a football or a basketball. You know, if you're an Olympic sport athlete, it's hard to really show brands like how much am I worth. But it was cool. Like I said, July 1st, that first day, like getting DMs, and it was just so amazing. And I knew in the back of my mind, like, this isn't just a hobby for me. Like, I'm a content creator slash student athlete. Like, I'm not a student athlete that makes a casual TikToks. Like, this is my thing. And I knew, like, if I wanted to do this and continue to do this for the rest of my life, I would have to take it slow. Like, these brands aren't going to rush college athletes. So my biggest thing has always been taking a couple of days and really aligning myself with the company. So if I like, first, it's if I like the company's message, like, that is the biggest thing for me. And if I align myself with what they're trying to bring to the public. And secondly, is if I like the product, I got to use the product and fully endorse it. And then I think three is, what are they asking from the social media and the price side? And if those, all those align, then I'm totally happy with working with the company. I think the biggest thing, and something the fans don't really realize, is the amount of no's to yeses myself and other content creators say to. Because I mean, my email, my DM, and they're getting blown up daily. But at the end of the day, you got to say no for the bigger yes. And it's tough sometimes when the money's there, but the company doesn't really align with my goals or the price. But at the end of the day, you know, the brands are going to come. I have to stay continued and committed to my content.
I love that you said that, because I think it is true. I can't imagine that you only get like one or two brands reaching out. It's got to be multiple. Yeah. And I love that advice that you're giving is really just kind of, well, I don't know if you would categorize it as advice, but I am for sure, is really knowing what your worth is and also understanding what your story is as well too. Like, because I think that that's, especially in just kind of this cancel culture that we live in, I think one of the things that any content creator has the potential to be is the potential to be canceled. And inauthenticity is like one of those, it's like the roadmap to get there a little bit faster on top of other things. That's another podcast. So I love that as a college athlete. And then also as, you know, the fact that you are getting income from this, what do you look out for from a brand? Is it when they're reaching out to you? You mentioned that your second one was, is this a product that I would use? Do brands typically gift you the product before even like the partnership conversation happens? What your honest thoughts are on the product?
I think it just depends. You know, I've done deals with Degree deodorant. I've used that in the past. I know a bunch about the product. For me, that was more of, what's the price? What's a deliverable? What's the company like? Because I already love the product, right? And beforehand, I didn't really know the background about what Degree really is like as a company. Another brand I've worked with is IHOP. You know, I went there like almost every weekend in high school. I already know what the food tastes like. So I love it. What's the company like? Is the price there? Okay, I'm in. It's really not about, you know, them sending me a product, me trying it out, this and that. And if it is something I haven't tried out, I'm going to do extensive research. And that's why a couple of months ago, I recently worked with Jason's Shampoo. And they kind of gave me a whole PDF about their company and their product. And I really loved it. And that aligned for us. And it was a great partnership.
How much negotiation happens for each of your partnerships? And the reason that I ask this question is because I think oftentimes brands do an outreach and then they either get a yes or no. And sometimes it stops there. And one of the things that we're always trying to continue to educate other brands on is like, it's a conversation. It's a negotiation. Like, where is that meat in the middle? So like for you, typically, how long does it take to just kind of land on a, okay, this is a brand partnership. Where do I sign?
Yeah. I think the biggest thing, and that's something I didn't really realize too, of how long it really takes. While I'm doing a brand on social media that the public sees in the background, I'm probably working on two or three. Just so like by the time this one ends, I can do another one. And it all depends on the timing of the year. But kind of the timeline is usually they reach out through DM or email, or I reach out vice versa. And we usually hop on some sort of Zoom just to kind of talk about what this would look like, this and that. And then it kind of comes back with just a couple emails back and forth and really kind of sorting out what we look for.
Yeah.
And then it just goes from there. But I would say, like, I think this is just a Gen Z thing, but I hate working through email. I know it's super professional, but I'm just much more of a text guy. But working through email definitely takes longer, right? So it usually takes about a month, month and a half to kind of get these deals done.
A month and a half. That is quite a long time. Even if it is over email versus, you know, text. While text is a lot faster, I think, oh, it's great that you said that. I don't know that brands really realize how long that back and forth could potentially take for grabbing that athlete that you want. What would you say are the biggest challenges for you as a content creator, but also an athlete and a student?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it just goes back to time for me, you know, especially going into my senior year, mm-hmm. where I'm trying to graduate in 4 years and trying to finish out my college career and obviously get a diploma. I think now it's taking all the necessary classes I need to graduate. And with COVID and taking online classes, I didn't take as many. So now I'm kind of in this pivot where I need to take the certain amount to graduate, and it might take up more time than I want to allocate.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, school, lacrosse, social. But I think the biggest thing, and like, look, there's three different type of NIL athletes in this genre. There's the athletes, the football and basketball players that are going to make their money off being athletes. Then there's mm-hmm. content creators and athletes. And then there's athletes that dabble with TikTok and are content creators. And I think I'm right there in the middle. I think I'm a student athlete that is a content creator.
What does a brand need to know that you're coming up against?
Yeah.
It does sound a little bit like it's a matter of classes and you're an athlete. You've got like a complete schedule for that. Like, is that all a brand should know as well?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's why they're so patient with us, right? We're not professional athletes. Yeah. They like hold their side to us with the school and social aspect. So it's definitely the time. And I tell everybody, like, my Bible is like my Google calendar. I'm on it 24/7. Like, I have it checked in from the time I wake up to the time I go to bed. And it just comes back to like self-discipline. Like, I truly want to do this for the rest of my life. And I know this is exactly what it takes. So I'm so strict on it. It's the time thing for us. Like, we have practice and I get out of there around noon and then I got class. And then I only have a certain amount of hours to get this content game continue to go. And it's just about, how am I going to fit it in? And we talked off air, but I recently hired two editors and two people to make thumbnails for my channel. So that takes the big weight off YouTube. And now me dialing into TikTok so they can kind of both come up together. So I just think it just depends on like what type of athlete you are. I think that question is different for everyone, but the fact that brands know that, you know, we're 50% athlete, 50% school, and the fact that they take time with us and they know he has so much on his plate, I think that really helps as well.
Well, let's talk a little bit about like the content creation process. Cause as you mentioned, we did talk about this offline, but also you just mentioned it here that you hired two editors. Give a description of what like a typical week as a content creator, the content aspect of it. Like, what does that look like? What kind of schedule does that mean? Where are you shooting? Like, how many shots do you take of shooting? And like, script out what you're going to say. Like, take me into like the nitty gritty as if you were trying to teach me how to do it.
So I think first and foremost, like, every week is just so different. So mm-hmm. right now, obviously lacrosse is in the spring. So right now is kind of our off season. So I have a lot more time to allocate towards school and towards social media. But for a week like now, like, this is going to be my second week on campus, is a lot more school and social driven. So I'm going to go to practice and I'm going to get out of there at like 11, 12. I'm going to go to one or two classes and get out of there around two. And then it's strictly social media time. So whatever's happening that day, if I'm going out and filming a video around campus interviewing students, I'm going to go film that. Or if I'm doing a day in the life, I'm doing that. Like, this next video that's coming up is reacting to the next number 1 through 10 lacrosse players in high school. So I know I don't have to really plan too much on my part as far as doing background information about these kids, but I have to film it. And then I always send my editor the video for the week on Sunday night. So he edits it on Monday, Tuesday, gets it back to me on a midday Wednesday. We chop it up. It's done. It's ready to go on a Friday. He has the weekend off, and then that repeats. So as far as the editing process goes, that's locked and loaded on YouTube. And then as far as TikTok, it just comes up on the fly for me. So if I'm following a trend, or I've planned out a video where I'm filming on my DSLR, or I'm out down there with the roommates doing something there, it's always changing. And I think that the biggest key is like social media, and especially YouTube, it's like you're always planning ahead. Like, I'm always thinking about, okay, what's the next video? What's the next video? Like, I upload tomorrow, Tuesday at 5, and that's already done. I'm going to hit post and then immediately start thinking about the next one. That's like the blessing and curse of it all. But I think the true part of being a creator is like, you just always have to be planning for the future. And I really couldn't give you like a certain week of my life, because it's just always changing so much.
I do really like to hear that you're planning ahead. It's funny because we did a virtual event called Authentic, and there was a creator panel on there. So it was a top creator interviewing, I believe, four other creators as well. And one of the questions was like, at what point are you thinking about content? And their comment across the board was, I'm never not thinking about it. I'm never not thinking like, what else is that thing that I'm going to post? So it sounds like it's very similar for you. Would you say that's accurate?
Yeah, without a doubt. If you know who Emma Chamberlain is, she's a legendary content creator, especially on YouTube. And now she has a whole brand called Chamberlain Coffee. She said a quote one time that's always stuck with me. She said, I quit my 9-to-5 to start my 24/7. And it's so true.
That's got to be so exhausting, though, especially for you as a student and an athlete. I've got kids. They're very busy with school. And then they're working on top of it. They're not even athletes to think like, hey, you also have to be basically a production company, especially with YouTube. Like, I feel like YouTube is probably the most labor intensive social media platform out there because it's long form and it's video.
Yeah. And that's why I think I can truly say from the bottom of my heart, that's why I'm the only one doing it. I'm the only division one.
It takes a long time.
Yeah. Consistent content. During the school year, I'm doing once a week, and during the summer, I was doing two. And I think like, it's because I want it so bad. And I think, you know, there's so many student athlete and Division I athletes out there that are killing it on TikTok. But I think long form and longevity wise, you have to be on YouTube because that's where you gain a community and kind of a cult. You know, a fan can't get invested with you through a 7-to-15-second TikTok. It just doesn't work.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, if you want to build a strong community, they have to sit down and watch your videos for a while. And that happens on YouTube.
I also really appreciate that you just talked about kind of your fans as your community and building that up on your social channels. How are you then, if you're building your community on YouTube, what's the play on TikTok then? Is that more eyeballs on you as a creator?
I think the biggest thing is YouTube's, I always call it like the golden baby. Like everything that I post not on YouTube is wanting me for you to funnel to YouTube. So everything on TikTok, it's okay, I just posted a 15-minute YouTube video. Let's cut down 10 TikToks and put that on TikTok, or just that's getting wild. My face as much out there as possible. Like I've been on campus for a week and the amount of people I've met that have known me through TikTok has been awesome. It's like at the end of the day, you know, you're going to have different age ranges on different apps. And I think if you can be in all of them, then more people are going to know you.
Yeah, absolutely. Now with your brand partnerships, I know we talked about just kind of how long it takes to come to a partnership agreement. That sounds like what you would do for payments. Does anybody ever just pay you in product, or are you just exclusively, no, you need to pay me?
Yeah. So that's actually one thing I told myself from the beginning. And I tell brands, I don't do any posts for products because at the end of the day, you know, I truly think my value is more than their product. And I think that's big. And that's what I tell a lot of athletes too. It's like, if you're serious about this and you're not just trying to get a free lunch or a free t-shirt, like you got to say that. And some people are suckers to free clothes from the brands they love. But at the end of the day, you know, what matters more?
Yeah. Well, and I think it speaks to those three groups that you had mentioned, right? Yep. Like that's that's the athlete that is just almost like a part-time creator where they're in it for like, I was going to say the free swag, but essentially that, right? Like, hey, I just want all of the stuff, which is good. I mean, there's a place for every single person, but it does sound like you're thinking of it much more long-term. I'm really curious. Have you thought of like what that pivot is once you graduate?
Yeah, I have. And I think it's something I'm still trying to figure out. I can take that route and I can be this guy that played college lacrosse and has this kind of lacrosse niche on YouTube and continue to ride with that. But I truly don't think that's me. And I still have to figure out. I was talking to somebody last night, like once I graduate and kind of veer off lacrosse, especially in my content, like my numbers are definitely going to drop because it's an adjustment. You know, my fans are used to seeing me in the lacrosse world. I'm doing something different. And I think that only comes with me trying different things. That's why this summer, you know, I'm out here making videos with other creators and other athletes and just trying to figure out like, okay, I want to try something new. Okay, these fans liked it. Did I really like doing it? Because at the end of the day, that's going to be something I'm doing for a lot of years of my life. And I think that's big. And I've talked about it a lot, but I'm not going to veer off lacrosse totally while I'm playing with it because I want to maximize the opportunity I have with this year left.
It's also part of your life story, honestly. It's, you know, it's never going to leave you. It is forever going to be this part of your life. I am curious, because you've talked about really articulating to the brands what your value is, right? And knowing your value as well too. I'm interested to learn what kind of either tools or how do you show that value to a brand? Is it numbers that you're showing? And if it is numbers, where are you getting the numbers? Do you use any other softwares to kind of help support like showing the value?
That's a good question. That's what a lot of creators ask as well. And I think in the beginning, it's definitely tough. I think honestly, a lot of companies use athletes because the athletes don't really know.
Yeah.
And I think for me, the biggest thing was like, okay, I'm just going to continue to one up like that first sponsorship. So my first deal was actually Degree, and the first payment was for $4,000. And at the time I'm like, $4,000 for a post. Like this is awesome. And now that kind of gave me a benchmark. I'm like, okay, I'm not going to do anything under 4,000. And as the number continued to grow, and now obviously, 13 months into this thing, I have, a great sense of who I am and what my values for each different deliverable. But I think from the start, to kind of answer your question, like you just got to continue to create and talk to brands and kind of see what their number is on you. Because I think the moment you put out your number, it's going to kind of stamp who you are. And for the brand, it might be too much, it might be too less, but I think you got to let them decide to really kind of give you that value, because then again, like they know more than you do in this partnership game, because that's the department they're in. We're just athletes now getting the opportunity to do it. So anything, it's just going to take time. I think that's like the biggest thing, and just figuring out from your followers and subscribers and views, where do you compare to kind of other athlete creators in the world?
I like that. I'm really curious, what kind of advice would you give for any aspiring content creator that is a collegiate athlete?
I would say like figure out what type of content you want to make. I truly think this, and I don't think this is a good thing too, but people see my content and they want to be exactly my content. They want to put the numbers out that I'm putting out, but I'm like, they don't know the 4 years beforehand, the 6 years beforehand where I was doing this. And I think they think it's easy to come on here and create YouTube videos that are averaging 20,000 views, a week, or 40,000 if I'm posting 22 a week. I think the biggest thing is like, just start. Like, that's what I tell people. Just like start creating content. The best thing you can do is get reps. If I'm out there and I film a video and it does terrible, I know in the back of my mind, I got 1% better because I just got a rep at doing this or that video. So I was actually at dinner with an athlete here at Ohio State last night. We went to a nice dining hall here on campus. And I was just telling him, look, man, you just got to start. I think TikTok is a great platform for any early creator because it's easy, right? You just get the iPhone going and think of an idea and create. And that's always been my biggest thing. Like, don't worry about the quality of the camera or the iPhone. Just go out and have fun with it and think of an idea, film it, and post it.
That is so huge. And I feel like that's such an athletic term too. you got to get the reps in, but it's so true. It is so true. It's all about, there's that Malcolm Gladwell book, I believe, and it's all about like the 10,000 hours, right? Yep. It's not always this innate talent. It is about repetition and getting it in there. Cause the sooner you start, right, the sooner you can tweak, like, oh, this didn't work, this didn't work. And may as well start to tweak while not everybody's watching.
Yeah. That's why it's so interesting. There's a great YouTube duo out there called Colin and Samir, who actually were in the lacrosse industry beforehand and now have a YouTube channel called Colin and Samir, where they really talk about they call it the creator economy. Like, what's happening today with creators. They're interviewing top creators. They just had Cody Ko on the other day, and just different people. And they're two guys I always take information from, because like you said, they were in the industry for 10 years before they reached any sort of success. They're in their 11th year now. And that's what it takes. And going back to my point before, I don't know if people realize that, like, it takes time.
Oh yeah. All of that stuff takes time, but you content creators make it just look so darn easy is really what it is. Yeah. Like, but I always like to give this example. I'm like, you guys think that content creators have it really easy. They're just going to press the button, take the picture, press the button, record something. But then I'm always like, I want you to think of the last group picture you tried to take. How many shots did you take? And nobody loved them all. right? Yeah. So like, if you think about it from that, like, and what you're doing as a content creator is you're scaling that. You're trying to engage people, entertain, educate. You're trying to hit all of those check marks when it comes to those things that you're putting out. Cause like you said, you're providing that for your community that are following you, that are invested in you.
I think that's big. It all comes back. And that's what Colin and Samir say too, is like, community is everything.
Yeah.
That's what's gonna follow you. And I think at the end of the day, when I graduate and I kind of veer off into a different path, which I don't know what that is yet, I know I've built this community and a good portion of them are going to follow me. So they're going to come on maybe liking Lacrosse, but then adapt to, I really love Mitchell Pelkey and I want to see him do this or that thing.
Yeah.
And that's the ultimate goal.
Yeah, I love it. I've taken up so much of your time. So I have one final question, and that's my prediction time question. Okay. So what do you think is in store for collegiate athletes over the next year?
I definitely think there's going to be some type of rules being applied to NIL. I think it's still a little bit of the wild, wild west. I think there's going to be some sort of cap to different sports or different companies or different positions within college athletes. I just think, from Olympic sport perspective, I think everything is fine. I think like there's no problems over here. I think maybe women's volleyball, I think, is like the number one earning sport right now. But I do think,
how interesting.
I think the hardest part is like, how are you going to put in rules for football and basketball that apply to like Olympic sports? And I think that's what everyone's trying to figure out right now. But I definitely think, you know, that side of things, that football and basketball, they need to figure something out, because if they don't, the culture of, you know, the sport's definitely going to fall. But I think the NCAA also doesn't like not getting a cut of all the deals, which I definitely think is true. But at the end of the day, it comes down to money, and the NCAA is going to do whatever they can to kind of get their share. But I definitely think that there's going to be some sort of rules to come. And yeah, I'll be here to follow.
Well, I can't wait to continue to watch your story unfold on YouTube as one of your community members. I absolutely appreciate you just stopping by and sharing your insights.
No, thank you. I just want to say thank you for the opportunity. I mean, it was awesome to get down and chop it up with you.
Love it. I love that Mitchell has always viewed what he's doing on social as a business, and am so impressed that he's truly turned it into one for him. Listening and learning how he has pivoted his content so that he's always relevant to his audience was so interesting. The thing that really kind of stuck out for me was how he is always thinking about content. The always on mentality is what I'm sure contributes to his success, not only as a creator, but also as an athlete. You know, you need that drive. Now, the benefits he's getting from the NIL ruling can really make an impact for these collegiate athletes who are pouring their blood, sweat, and tears out there on the fields. I can't wait to see the evolution and impact it has on athlete marketing as a whole. Want to hear more? Be sure to subscribe to the Grin Gets Real podcast to get the latest episodes. Give us some stars or share your favorite episode in a review. Connect with me on social. I want to hear from you. You can find me on LinkedIn. It's Katya Allison. And if you're interested in learning more about Grin, visit our website at grin.co. Until next time, keep grinning.